Welcome, everybody. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. Happy 5 o'clock hour. I'm Maggie Dawn, your host here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Some breaking news to start the hour. The death toll in Texas has ticked up to a grim 111 souls, with over 110 people still unaccounted for and missing. And in North Carolina, flash floods have cost four North Carolinians their lives as well. In other news this day, President Donald Trump has now decided that the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, remember all those MAGAs standing outside the White House with binders that were supposed to be the Epstein files? Remember Dan Bongino talking about Epstein for months and months? And now, apparently, no big deal. The FBI and Trump's DOJ have concluded, no, they're there. Nothing to see. And that client list that Pam Bondi told us was sitting on her desk waiting for her review, now she says that never existed. So some very bizarre things happening in the entire spectrum of the Epstein ickiness and criminality. Keep in mind, folks, that there are hundreds of photos of Donald Trump with Jeffrey Epstein spanning over 20 years. And the Epstein creepiness isn't constrained to Donald Trump or Republicans. Many Dems also sullied their reputations irretrievably by their association therewith. I don't know about you, but I'm not inclined to believe Pam Bondi or Dan Bongino when it comes to this stuff. Not really credible folks, are they? In addition, today, Donald Trump apparently has newly figured out that Vladimir Putin may lie, stating at a cabinet meeting that we get a lot of BS thrown at us by Putin, if you want to know the truth. He's very nice to us all the time, but it turns out to be meaningless. Anyone else terribly embarrassed that it has taken our president this long to come to this very obvious and evident truth that the entire intelligence apparatus of the U.S. government has known for decades? I don't know. Does he sound like a middle schooler that's a little ticked off that his best friend was actually just playing him? I don't know. It sounds like it to me. And in other breaking news, Donald Trump, again, from a televised cabinet meeting, apparently revising U.S. tariff policy and announcing absolutely crippling tariffs on numerous products, including copper and pharmaceuticals. Hey, are you paying too much for your drugs right now? You want to pay more? Just thank Donald Trump. He's working on it, folks. And thank goodness we have just the guest to help us understand all of this mess. Her name's Lindsay Owens. She's a consumer advocate and the executive director of the economic think tank Groundwork Collaborative. Lindsay, it's great to have you back on the show. Thanks for making time.
Thanks for having me.
So, to state the obvious question, what the heck has just happened over the last couple of days with tariff policy? It seems that the needle has moved a considerable amount yet again.
Yeah, so last week, Donald Trump and Republicans in Congress finished up their big legislative effort, which was to pass their giant tax and budget bill, giving huge tax cuts to the wealthy and really sticking it to everyone else with cuts to healthcare, higher costs for food and energy along the way. And wasting no time, this week on Monday, he's running back his Liberation Day play, announcing a fresh round of tariffs on a whole host of our major trading partners and on some of our major imports like copper. So not only has he actually delayed the July 9th deadline for tariffs, pushing that back to August 1, but he's also introduced a host of new tariff proposals. And I think the punchline here, the bottom line for Americans, is that we're going to get the lose-lose trade policy scenario. We're going to get the high cost for American consumers because many companies have already gone ahead and adjusted their pricing in anticipation of these tariffs coming online. But we're not going to get any of the investment that we were hoping for as a result of trade policies that prioritized American manufacturing, because companies cannot make any decisions about investing in manufacturing in the United States, about bringing additional supply online, if they don't actually believe Trump is going to follow through with his trade policy And it would be impossible and frankly unwise for businesses to assume he will, given that there is nothing in the last, you know, 3 months of recent history that suggests he's going to stay the course with any of this trade policy.
As an economist, I know two things that I think also resonate with folks that might not have gone to graduate school for economics. And that is business owners and markets and their 401k portfolios do better when there is predictability and stability in U.S. both domestic economic policy and international economic policy. That's thing one. Thing two is tariffs are taxes on consumers as well as businesses that build and assemble things that we, the American middle class, then purchase. It is a sales tax, in essence, that definitely gets passed on. Those two things are immutable, constant truths that no matter what Donald Trump says, he cannot deny. And polls about his economic policy are indicating that Americans are losing confidence, including amongst Republicans. Why is he doing this?
Yeah, I mean, just to underscore your point, I think the economic uncertainty that Trump's trade policies are causing are just having huge ripple effects across the economy. So the latest data that we have from manufacturers, the Dallas Fed every month surveys manufacturers, tries to understand how they're feeling as a sort of look ahead. And we found that their outlook index dropped significantly last month in the latest reading. And they cite uncertainty around tariffs as their absolute top concern. We also know that in the first half of 2025, companies announced almost 750,000 job cuts, again, citing this uncertainty in the economic environment as the main reason for their hiring and layoff decisions. Consumer confidence is down. Spending is starting to be down. GDP is negative. So you're exactly right that the uncertainty in the economic outlook and in the economic environment is really having ripple effects across the whole economy, on the labor side, on the manufacturing side, and now on the consumer spending side as well.
Lindsay, there was a bit of breaking news just before I came on air about an hour ago that the Supreme Court has now greased the skids for Donald Trump to fire tens of thousands of federal workers and begin the dismantling of various federal agencies. The uncertainty, no matter what its source, in an economy is bad when federal government agencies that provide key support and services, like, for example, the Housing and Urban Development Agency. Again, all of this injecting increasing amounts of uncertainty. Where does it all go? Like, what's the off ramp? I just don't, you know, usually tariffs, and I'm not anti-tariff in all circumstances, right? Surgical with particular objectives that once achieved, the tariffs then ramp back down. They can be pro-competition, or at least trying to level playing fields for U.S.-based businesses. They have a purpose. What's the purpose here? Where are we going to get relief from this systemic uncertainty that appears to be slowly but surely seizing up the American economy?
You look, it's hard to determine what the purpose here is other than, you know, Donald Trump's ego, right? He is, I think, really interested in playing these games with foreign countries and seeing who will cry uncle and who he can bring to their heels first. It is really hard to follow what's happening in trade policy in the Trump administration and see a coherent economic through line. That's just not what we're seeing here. But to pick up on your point about firing federal workers, I think the last couple of months, but in particular over the weekend, we have seen so clearly how essential federal workers are across our country. I think, you know, there's an attempt to malign federal workers, but really most federal workers across the United States are doing really important things. They're in our Fish and Wildlife Service, they're in our agricultural schools in rural areas, but they're also the first responders when we have a natural disaster or an extreme weather event, like we're experiencing in Texas and North Carolina right now. So I just think it's incredibly foolhardy to be gutting these federal agencies that are so critical to the safety and security of the American public and to our economic health as well.
Not only, I think, is it creating the uncertainty that we've been speaking of, it's essential to the quality of life in many ways. And that will end up impacting consumer confidence, not in the next 6 weeks, but in the next 6 to 16 months, as people become more fearful for their futures. Again, that will lead to reduced consumer spending. Tell people all the time, 70% of U.S. GDP is consumer spending. Billionaires don't spend money. They make money. The consumer class, the engine of our economy, is the middle class.
Yeah. Delayed Social Security checks, delayed veterans benefits, all of that stifles consumption. All of it really sort of takes a cut out of our ability to consume. And those have real ripple effects across the economy. You're exactly right.
Folks, we're talking with Lindsay Owen. She's a consumer advocate, executive director of the economic think tank Groundwork Collaborative, about the big, brutal bills impact on the middle class and how it's getting worse, not better, with literally every passing day, including the last 2 days where Donald Trump, with verbal, unedited stream of consciousness articulation of maybe some kind of economic policy, but maybe not, as he pushes deadline after deadline back for his tariff taxation terror. Speaking of T words, Lindsay, I want to begin when we come back. We got to take care of a few important messages, but maybe we can give our listeners a wee bit of a flavor. I call it trickle up economics, meaning we're going to actually tax the middle class and the working poor more, which is the effect of the big brutal bill. We're going to cut all of the critical services that middle class and working families and veterans and disabled folks and caretakers rely upon. And we're going to use whatever we get from that great pain that we're exacting on the middle class to pay it upwards, to trickle up the wealth to the billionaire and 100 millionaire set. I want to debunk this idea of trickle down economics, because that is not the way money works. Money always trickles up. Lindsay, we got about 30 seconds. If you want to give folks a little flavor, we'll discuss in more detail when we get back on the other side.
Yeah, whether you call it trickle up, reverse Robin Hood, or as one analyst has already surmised, the single largest wealth transfer from the poor to the rich in a piece of legislation in U.S. history, the result is the same. The wealthy are going to be doing quite well when this bill goes into effect, and the poor are really going to get kicked in the teeth.
How long will it take for the big brutal bill to kick you in the teeth and to trickle your wealth up to the people who need not a whit of it? We discuss with Lindsay Owens. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. When we come back on the other side, don't go anywhere.